Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly is on the air here as we get you set for the rest of what is proving to be a big week for this Bucks team. As, look, last night clearly did not go as you would have hoped. The hope is that game against the Utah Jazz, and especially the first half of that game, you hope that's the low point of the season for the Bucks. You didn't have Damian Lillard. You were wondering what the offense was going to look like with that being the case, but it has been a lot of the same talking points and conversation that we've had about the defense. We took a lot of your thoughts last night on the postgame show on Bucks Talk, and I think there is a little bit of good news on the horizon for the Bucks, but just in terms of searching for that solution, it's still something that you're chasing. That good news that's on the horizon is we don't have a firm return date yet, but Jay Crowder's return is imminent, and the Bucks assigned him to the Wisconsin Herd earlier today. He's since been recalled. That was basically just to get more on work court in practice. We saw and heard over the weekend that that was the last obstacle. He was nearing that five-on-five clearance and getting some of those on-court practice reps. And it's here now. And Monday, yesterday, was that 8-week date. So initially we were told this was a 6 to 8 week timeline for Jay Crowder. Yesterday marked 8 weeks from the initial diagnosis on that injury. So it's going to be any day now. Is that going to be against the Boston Celtics on Thursday? Who knows? Potentially. The Bucks could certainly use him in that matchup where you're going to need a much more stout defense, and especially on the perimeter. It may be this weekend, but I mentioned this week is big for the Bucks because you obviously have not started January the way that you would have hoped. 1-4 now. Last week was their first losing week in the regular season, and that was week 11. So it took 2.5 months for the Bucks to have a losing record in a single week so far this season. I've mentioned it's still a work in progress, and they're figuring things out. This is going to take time. Those are all valid, and I know a lot of you get tired of hearing that and saying, I want to see this turned around now. And look, some of this is not just it's going to take time to sort out this chemistry. Some of this are things that require a deeper dive and is more than just a group that was thrown together that is searching for that chemistry that's going to take time to gel. There are some other issues that this team needs to address, primarily on the defensive end of the floor. But I keep pointing to this week because you have a 4-game homestand. And it's full of some difficult matchups. The Celtics, obviously, the most challenging and the most important of those 4 games. We talked about this after that game against the Houston Rockets, where you pointed to a 4-game homestand coming up and said, hopefully this will get the Bucks routed in the right direction. You could have very easily gone 0-4 last week. A very disappointing loss at home to the Indiana Pacers. And by the way, now you've dropped 2 straight at home. A place where the Bucks had the second-best home record, trailing only the Boston Celtics for most of this season. Now it's 2 straight losses on the home floor. But I think everybody focused on the Boston Celtics on this schedule. And even this weekend, the Sacramento Kings are playing very well right now. The Golden State Warriors, there's a very good chance Draymond Green is going to be back on the floor for that one. And the Warriors, I mean, it's only January, but when you continue to see how bunched up the Western Conference is, the Warriors right now are on the outside looking in, and that may well be a desperate team. So this is going to be a challenging homestand. And mention, don't overlook the Utah Jazz. They're a team that has been playing well, and they're finally healthy for the first time this season. Will Hardy, their head coach, talked about that a little bit prior to the game yesterday, saying those injuries that they have gone through, injuries that, by the way, the Bucks have not really had to deal with, that's something that's helped that young team, that they've had to rely on different ways to play and figuring out how they can play differently. And I think you saw that yesterday, that it was a team that came out shooting and found ways to exploit the Bucks' defense on the perimeter. Jay Crowder is not going to fix everything, but Jay Crowder is going to help you out quite a bit defensively. Because right now, the Bucks' biggest challenge is on defense. We can nitpick the offense and say it did not look good last night against those Jazz, and it didn't. You also did not have Damian Lillard. And there were some interesting lineups that we saw as a result of that, where as much of a spark as the young players provided you, Marjon Beauchamp, Andre Jackson Jr., and Chris Livingston entering the discussion now, as much of a spark as they gave you and that energy and intensity they brought defensively, you saw the other side of it, that something we talked about over the summer with the addition of Chris Livingston and Andre Jackson Jr. was you like what they bring and what they possess in terms of their skill set on the defensive end of the floor because it is the one thing that has evaded the Bucks for the last couple of years. You need switchable defenders, wing defenders, larger wings that you can throw out there in matchups against the Boston Celtics. That's what the Bucks hadn't had. You had veterans, you had good defenders in the case of Drew Holiday, Wesley Matthews, another one you would throw out there. Certainly capable and good defenders, but not players that are in their prime, in their younger years, and that are more switchable and give you that size. That's what these players give you. The trade-off is the offense is not developed. We've seen some nice strides offensively from Marjon Beauchamp. It's going to take a little more time for Andre Jackson Jr. Same for Chris Livingston. So as much as we want to point to, man, these guys should be playing more, sooner or later, that is going to be a conversation because you're reaching the point in the season where you do give your bench the first crack at everything, your veterans, I should say, the first crack at everything, and say, okay, Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis, these are guys we have won with in the past, but we've had a number of constant conversations so far this year. Number one is the defense, especially on the perimeter. How do you clean that up? How do you fix that? Because that's leading to a lot of breakdowns. We talked about this at length last week. It starts on the perimeter because if you're playing that far away from the basket, you're not creating these turnovers that you're looking for. It's opening everything up around the basket. That's where we've seen the rebounding issues come into play. On both ends for the Bucks, offensively and defensively, it's been one thing after another. And if you're not getting those stops, it leads to everything else. Transition, points off of transition, second chance points. And then it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on your offense. So those are areas that need to be addressed. But bench production is another one of those that has slowly started to enter that conversation as well. The Bucks have gone up against some very good benches in recent games, but they have constantly been outperformed. And you're going to roll with your vets, and you're going to say, as we mentioned, Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis, these guys have won big games for you, been part of a championship run. So you're going to give them the first crack before you will these young players, especially rookies. Any head coach in this league will do that. But we're starting to reach the point of the season. It's the midpoint. It's not to say to give up all hope on it, but we're nearly 41 games in. And once you start to get settled in there, there's a prevailing thought that you are what you are. So this is a critical stretch and a critical week for the Bucks because you have three more home games to start to sort this out. That opens up the door for things like more time in the lab, more practice to work on these things. But January is critical overall, especially this week, because it is not a challenging schedule in January. It picks up at the very, very end. And it picks up big time in February and March. And again, you have to have the ship steered in the right direction on both ends of the floor once you get into that difficult stretch of scheduling. We'll get into the Jay Crowder updates, or at least what we have so far as we progress throughout the show. But when we return, we hand things off to Gail Klappa as it is time for our courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. And this week, the conversation, speaking of steering those things in the right direction, the man that would have the answers to that and is first up to do that, head coach of your Milwaukee Bucks, Adrian Griffin. He is the guest this week with Gail Klappa. You will hear that conversation after this on Bucks Weekly.
The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time. Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all, the president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager John Horst, by far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. A great American philosopher once said there are a few simple rules that can help you through the ups and downs, through the adversity of life. His favorite was the first rule of holes, which is simply this: when you find yourself in one, stop digging. That's what the Bucks tried to do Monday night. They brought some heat, some energy, some defense to the second half against the Jazz. But the 33-point hole from the first half was just too deep. The Bucks lost for only the fourth time this season in the friendly confines of Fiserv Forum. Now, it doesn't get much easier from here. The Celtics and the Golden State Warriors come calling later this week. Tonight, we get some answers and some insight on the state of the team from the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Adrian Griffin. Coach, thanks again for your time. Welcome back to Courtside.
Thank you, and it's my pleasure.
Well, Coach, you've been around the NBA for a long time, and as you know, every team faces some type of adversity during the long 82-game season. If you will, give us your thoughts on the defensive problems that have surfaced recently for the Bucks, particularly over the past couple of games.
Well, I think, the last couple of games, we dug ourselves in a hole, and then we have to fight like heck to try to get out. A lot of that is, controllables as far as rebounding, limiting teams to one shot, knowing personnel. I thought we gave a couple too many clean looks to some of their shooters in that first half. But I like how we adjusted in the second half. I thought our energy was great. I thought our young guys off the bench did a pretty good job, man, coming in with great effort. And, you know, Dre and Chris Livingston and AJ, I thought they were a huge lift, off the bench. But I think overall, you know, we got to play full 48 minutes with great detail to, you know, execution and effort. And but as you said, you know, it's a long season. You're going to face adversity, but we can also use adversity as a tool to get better, and that's our approach.
That makes a lot of sense, Coach. And we've seen the Bucks' young draft pick, you mentioned him just a second ago, Andre Jackson, play meaningful minutes. Tell our listeners what he brings to the table. He seems to be a bulldog on defense.
Well, he brings a lot of physicality, a lot of athleticism, just effort and hard work. Versatile player that could guard multiple positions. You know, sometimes I have him on the guards or the point guard. Sometimes he's switching in on the fours and fives. And I believe in versus Houston, I had him on their center, Sagoon, and he did a really good job. You know, he's still learning. He's still a rookie. Just learning how to defend without fouling, understanding how the refs are going to call it, still understanding our schemes and our rotations and whatnot. But he's doing a great job. Couldn't be more pleased with Dre, his effort, extremely coachable young man with a bright future.
And, Coach, I've noticed that Dre has really earned the respect and the friendship of some of the veterans. The other night, we saw on TV in Houston how Giannis had his arm around Ajax during one of the timeouts and was counseling him. He seems to have really, really become popular with the veterans.
I think they just appreciate his, and I agree with that sentiment. I think they really appreciate his hard work. Just as a former player, you respect players that lay it out there on the line every time they step on the court. That doesn't mean Dre is perfect, but his effort and just the way, you know, his commitment to playing hard and bringing that energy, all his players, his teammates, they respect that, you know, and that's how you get respect in this league, you know, when you're doing the dirty and the gritty work, you know. Getting on the offensive boards, diving on the floor, sprinting back and making plays at the rim. You know, I think he made several plays at the rim just on sheer hustle. So he definitely has the respect of his teammates.
Coach, what do you think? His hair maybe adds 2 inches to his length?
I wish that was the case. I probably would have got a wig when I was younger. I was willing to try anything at that age. But, no, he's a terrific athlete. And he's a smart player, and he's only going to get better.
Well, Coach, as you well know, the Bucks were shorthanded Monday night. Damian Lillard out for personal reasons, and Campaign, who's been a great three-point range shooter coming off the bench, was in concussion protocol, we understand. First quick question, do you expect Dame to be back for the showdown against the Celtics on Thursday?
Yes, we expect Dame to be back for the Boston game.
And, Coach, how did Campaign suffer the concussion? Any idea when Cam might be declared ready to play?
I believe it was, I want to say it was in the Houston game where he hit his head. And I think it was more of a delayed reaction. But, you know, we take the player's health seriously. And, you know, we're running through all the proper channels, all the proper protocols. We want to make sure that our players are safe. I saw him today. He was feeling a little better than yesterday. But, you know, he's day-to-day right now until, you know, I hear anything differently.
Well, we hope he recovers soon, and we'll have more with Coach Griffin in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Back to Gale and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Coach, let's chat a little bit about Damian Lillard. New to the Bucks this year, one of the most prolific three-point shooters literally in the history of the game. Dame been in a bit of a slump lately, and I'm curious, Coach, what are you seeing in practice that gives you a sense of when we might get all-star production from Dame again?
Well, I think, number one, Dame is a constant pro. You know, he knows how to take care of his body. He knows how to get himself going. You know, you don't break the 20K mark and points scored in this league without fighting through some, you know, adversity and fighting through, you know, when the ball doesn't go in. You know, on top of that, he finds other ways to be productive. You know, he can get to the free throw line. If you look at a lot of those games, he has 9-10 assists. So, he's a complete player. You know, sometimes, some nights the ball doesn't fall, but, you know, he's such a competitor, such a smart player. He's a floor general out there. Like, he's seen every type of coverage. And he's able to make teams pay, you know, when they put multiple bodies on him or switch up their coverages with him. But one thing I don't worry about is, you know, Dame, he knows how to put the ball in the basket. And, you know, he's shown that consistently over the course of his career. And, you know, I'm sure he knows how to get himself going. But there's no worries on our end.
And, Coach, as you know, he's a great free throw shooter. I think for his entire career, plus 90% made.
Yeah, and that's another great point. You know, the great players know how. You know, they don't necessarily have to have a great shooting night, but they know how to get to the free throw line. They know how to get the rim to get fouled. And you know, Dame certainly possesses that. So, you know, he's a well-rounded, complete player. And then he's shown in the past many, many times when it's clicking all cylinders, man, he's as elite as it gets.
Mm-hmm. And, Coach, another one of our veteran players, Jake Crowder, continues to recover from adductor surgery. If you will, Coach, give us a status report on Jay.
I think first Jay has been rehab. His rehab has been awesome. He's working extremely hard to get back. A few days ago, he started his contact practices and responded well the next day. We gave him, you know, some time to recuperate, and he had another contact practice today. So he's progressing very well. still, I think he may be a few days, a few games away. But he's getting close. Right? He's getting extremely close. So it'll be good to have him, his veteran presence back on the court. But I still think he may be a few games away, but getting very close.
Jay's return, Coach, I would assume could be a real plus for our defense as well.
Well, Jay, you know, he has the size, the versatility. We could switch. He could rebound. You know, he's a physical guy. But more than anything, you know, Jay is he's another leader on the floor. You know, very vocal, very another high IQ, high character guy that you put on the floor. So, you know, he definitely makes us better. You know, we've missed him. So it'll be nice to have him back on the floor.
And, Coach, speaking of injuries, A.J. Green, one of the Bucks' best three-point shooters off the bench, has a broken nose but still played very well Monday night. How did that injury happen, Coach?
Just in one of his workouts, and, you know, what I've been told is that he's had a history of that same type of issue over the years. And, he, you know, he's just tough as it gets. And he says, you know, I can play. And but I wanted to make sure that, you know, he does what's right for himself. So he did see a doctor. They did their best to try to straighten it out. I don't know if they were successful enough just because of the history with it. But, I mean, the guys, he said, like, I'm playing. He's just a tough kid, man. And I love the way he competed last night. You wouldn't know that he has a broken nose. He's playing with a broken nose. But I thought he gave us some really solid minutes on both sides of the point, you know, floor. You know, he hit a couple threes that in the first half. You know, we were down 30. We may have been down 40 if he doesn't come in and, you know, give us a lift offensively. And then defensively, I thought he did a good job of sliding and moving his feet, keeping the ball in front, being physical without fouling. He did his job last night. So I thought all our young guys came in and gave us a big lift.
Coach, do you want to switch gears just a bit? When the Bucks visited San Antonio last week, you got your first look at the young 7'4" phenom from France, Victor Wembanyama. And the battle between Wemby and Giannis, man, that was must-see basketball. Tell us, if you will, about your first impressions of Wemby.
You know, it's you know, I've been around the league a long time, and they're just certain players, like just their makeup, their build. You know, Giannis obviously is one of those where, you know, just a unique individual as far as his skill set and his athletic ability. You know, I played with Yao Ming, you know, 7'6". I mean, it was just a massive of a human being, but one of the kindest human beings you will ever be around. But seeing Victor kind of remind me of, you know, those guys as far as this is something you don't see every day. You know, you have this guy, 7'4", I don't know, 7'4", 7'5", whatever. He's has guard skill set abilities and capabilities. He can shoot the three. He can pass. He can block shots. He can run the floor. I mean, it was just, you know, he's a generational player. And you don't get to see, you know, the Victors like that, you know, except once probably in a lifetime. So it was fun because I felt like Giannis wanted to show him that, hey, your time is coming, but right now it's my time. And I thought Giannis made a valid point. I thought he was tremendous. You know, it was just so much fun to witness that up close and personal, like two, you know, you have the future and then you have the present, and having them, you know, battle it out. Like it was almost like an old shootout, Western shootout, you know. And Giannis was tremendous, man. He just, you know, he continues to remind people of why he's arguably the best player in the world. And, but Victor held his own, you know, and, I, you know, he's definitely the future. He's going to be a special player for many, many years.
And, Coach, as you know, just 20 years old. We'll have more with Coach Griffin right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more with Gale and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Coach, we were talking about the big matchup between Wemby and Giannis last week in San Antonio against the Spurs. And as you well recall, Giannis sank 2 3-point shots at crunch time during that game. I believe, Coach, it was the first time that Bucks fans have seen Giannis hit 2 from deep with the game on the line. Your thoughts?
Well, I think another thing that a lot of, you know, people from the outside do not see is how hard he works on his game religiously, and his 3-point shot and his free throws, and it shows. You know, every time I come in the gym, you know, he's working on all the facets of his game, including his 3-point shot. And that's why I feel 100% comfortable with him taking those shots, because he works so hard at it, and he deserves it. You know, he's done so much for this league, so much for our organization, so much for our team. And, you know, he has to be, you know, rewarded, you know, for a lot of his hard work that he's doing. So, you know, I back him 100%. You know, he takes, you know, if they're good rhythm threes within, you know, I hold him to the same standard like I would hold any other player. You know, if they're good rhythm threes, you know, let it fly. If we need to get to the rim and, you know, it's kind of time scored, then we need to get to the rim. But I have no problem with him, you know, shooting threes, because he works at it. And I know how, you know, as a former player, you got to continue to evolve, you know, especially as the older you get, especially someone like Giannis who gets scouted, you know, on the regular. Every game they're sending multiple bodies at him. So he has to continue to expand his game, and, you know, that's going to help with his longevity in this league.
Well, Coach, last week on Courtside, we were fortunate to have Josh Oppenheimer, the Bucks shooting coach, as our guest, and he was talking about working with Giannis on a mid-range shot to develop yet another arrow in his quiver.
Yes, you know, Josh does a great job with Giannis. You know, they have you know, a long-lasting, unique relationship, but you have to be able to, you know, the great ones, they're complete, you know, complete players. And I always believe you need it all. You need the mid-range game. You need the 3-point game. You got to be able to get to the rim. You got to be able to have floaters, you know, especially someone with Giannis who commands such, you know, a lot of attention. And it continues to evolve. And but it's good to have those shots. That doesn't mean you take those shots on the regular, but it's good to be able to have those in your bags, so to speak, so anytime that you need to call upon them. And, you know, if the game dictates that you need these shots, you know, you got to work at them, which he does religiously, and he's continuing to get better. You know, he takes great pride in his personal development. Obviously, he's a team-first guy, but he understands that, you know, to be, you know, considered one of the greatest players to ever play, he has to continue to, you know, evolve his game and continue to add different, you know, tools to his toolbox. And that's just going to make him – he's already unstoppable, but that's going to make him even more unstoppable.
Amen. And, Coach, time now to look ahead. Big, interesting challenges ahead of us this coming week. The league-leading Boston Celtics with Drew Holiday as point guard roll into town for a Thursday showdown. What are two or three important keys, things to watch for Bucks fans as we enter that game?
Well, obviously, we got to take care of the three-point line. You know, Boston, you know, they stress the three-point, you know, committed to shooting the three, all of them, you know, all of their starters, you know, Porzingis, Brown, Tatum, you know, White, and, you know, Holiday, if he starts, or Pritchard, you know, all those, every Hauser, you know, every guy that they put in the game for the most part is lethal from the three-point line. So, you know, we got to be great covering the line. And when you do that, you know, pressing up inside the line, then we have to be great with our help at the rim, you know. And then it's going to be another multiple effort versus the kickout. So we have to be defensively sound in you know, every aspect of the game. And obviously it's going to start with transition and keeping them, you know, out of the paint and taking away transition threes and getting them to a half court. And then you know, rebounding the basketball. We're going to have to do a great job of finding the body. And, you know, all of these are easier said than done, the way they play, you know, five-out basketball, and all of them capable of shooting at three. And for the most part, they're capable of attacking the rim. And, you know, they're well coached. So we're pretty good ourselves. And, you know, I'm confident that we'll be ready for the Boston game.
And, Coach, as we wrap up our conversation today, with the season not too far away from the midpoint mark, what message would you like to leave with Bucks fans everywhere?
I think just, you know, we're in this together. You know, we hit a bit of adversity, but we've got high character players, we've got high character individuals, we've got people that care about winning, and we're going to stick together, and we're going to do this together.
Sounds terrific. Best of luck this week and the rest of the season, Coach. We really appreciate your time and your insights. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
All right, our thanks to Gale Klappa for his timely conversation this week with Adrian Griffin. And the biggest takeaway from that was the update on Jay Crowder. We mentioned that he was getting closer and closer to a return. Does not sound like, based on the answer that that head coach Griff gave to Gale there, it does not sound like you'll see Jay Crowder against the Boston Celtics. And Bucks have 2 days off, so they have not submitted their initial injury report for that game. We'll have a better grasp on that tomorrow. But from the sounds of it, Jay Crowder likely going to be ruled out for that game. And then you would focus on the final two games of this weekend, either Saturday against the Golden State Warriors or Sunday against the Sacramento Kings. So two big matchups there for the Bucks. I mentioned the Warriors and what they've been going through. Right now, the Warriors are behind the Utah Jazz for that 10th spot in the Western Conference. They're a half game back of the Lakers. Lakers are 10th, Jazz are 11th, and the Warriors currently sit at 12th in the Western Conference. So that is going to be a team seeking wins, trying to keep the pace, as it has been a very, very bunched up Western Conference. Phoenix Suns, a team that was very active in the offseason with the additions of players like Bradley Beal and Eric Gordon, Grayson Allen as well from the Bucks. The Suns currently sit at 9th in the Western Conference. So look, part of this is the schedule that the Bucks have played, but you do also have to factor that in as well. We've talked about the struggles that this team has experienced, an ugly week that they've been going through, or really a week and a half at this point of late. But we should also keep in perspective, I know it has not been a challenging schedule. And as I mentioned earlier, that is going to change, and it's going to change rather quickly. End of January, when you got matchups with a suddenly resurgent New Orleans Pelicans team who was knocking on the door of a top six spot in the Western Conference. The Denver Nuggets on the road. You have more challenging games. Of course, the Celtics just 2 days from now. But it starts to pick up in February and especially in the month of March, where I believe the Bucks will have the most difficult schedule in the league by way of opponent win percentage. So you need to iron these things out before you get to that point. Long story short, though, is to just keep this in perspective. It is fair to criticize and point out the things that need to improve, the things that have not been working. The Bucks are still 25-12. And again, schedule we can point to. Are they beating up on bad teams? Sure, there was some of that. 76ers have been gifted with a very, very similar schedule. The difference with Philly is they've blown teams out, but they haven't won quite as many games. Both these teams have 12 losses. You're still 3.5 back of the Celtics, 4 back in the loss column for the best record in basketball. You win on Thursday, that goes a long way in restoring that. So it could be much worse. And I think when you look at teams like Phoenix and the Lakers, two teams that came in with very lofty expectations, that currently sit at 9th and 10th in the Western Conference and have basically been 500 teams all season, that's where you do have to put that in perspective. It is going to be challenging, though, this weekend. It is going to be I don't know if you can use the word desperate in January, but close to it in the Golden State Warriors. And again, Draymond Green reinstated. We may see him in that game on Saturday. And the Sacramento Kings have been playing much, much better basketball of late. Offense is what you come to see the Kings for. The defense should present some opportunities for the Bucks to improve their offense even more. But those are going to be three very challenging games to wrap up this homestand. And then you basically have Central Division showdowns for the duration of the month of January up until that portion of the schedule that we mentioned just moments ago, where you do close out the month in Denver and then in Portland against the Blazers. You have the Pelicans at home, but between the end of this upcoming homestand, or this current homestand, and then, it's all Cavs and Pistons. You have three games against the Cavaliers, two games against the Detroit Pistons. Cleveland very well may not have Donovan Mitchell back for that game. And by the time you catch them, or sorry, not Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland and Evan Mobley, they may not have those players back for any of those games. And by the time you catch them for that first matchup, they're just going to be back from Paris. So there are some scheduling advantages for the Bucks to take advantage of. We'll take a look at some of the scores around the league tonight, some interesting scores and some interesting pieces of news to get you caught up on before we wrap things up. Coming up after this on Bucks Weekly. Wrapping things up here on Bucks Weekly. Again, our thanks to Gail Klappa and Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin for that conversation on the show earlier tonight. If you missed any of that, you can find it on the podcast along with the entirety of this show and along with any edition of Bucks Talk or postgame show after each and every Bucks game. Next one of those is going to be Thursday night after a big matchup with the Boston Celtics, and a lot for the Bucks to correct between now and then. Certainly a lot of that line on the defense. Now, here is one thing to keep in mind for that matchup with the Celtics. It will be night two of a back-to-back for the Boston Celtics, as they are going to be in Minnesota tomorrow night to play the Timberwolves. So that is going to be a showdown between the two best records in the league. Yes, the Western Conference leading Minnesota Timberwolves and the Eastern Conference leading Boston Celtics, who do own the best record in the league. So it is going to be night two of a back-to-back for the Celtics. Bucks will have the rest advantage there. However, I've talked about this before. I think at times we can make too much out of night two of a back-to-back. It's a lot different this year, where we're seeing more players play. Giannis has missed one game this season. Damian Lillard has missed just three. You're seeing more stars play across the league, and that's been a big component of those night two of a back-to-back performances. Also, Celtics are a younger team than the Bucks, so it is going to be an advantage, and you'll take any of those that you can get. Next game broadcast, though, Thursday night, Bucks and the Celtics, 6:30 tip-off. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then with more Bucks basketball.